Welcome to episode 51 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I'm great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I suck at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss ongoing 51 and 52. So boy, how about that cover?
Good news, everybody. That number one best character, the Cybertronian Spike Witwicky, we call him.
That's what we call him around these parts.
He's back. Hope you didn't think he was gone.
Don't worry. Prowl's here. So yeah, we have this cover, which kind of reminds me of those like 70s, 80s photos where someone's like, it's against a black background and someone's looking off in the distance. And then, like, half of their head is gone.
Yeah.
And someone else's face is behind them. Or their face.
Like the Star Wars posters or the Indiana Jones ones.
Yeah, only not that beautiful. Right. I mean, this is still beautiful.
To be fair,
Don't get me wrong.
This is just two people, so the effect is a little
Right. It's
strange.
Not as an extreme of an effect. Yes, it's just Optimus. Turned like it's a profile of Optimus with
right.
Prowl, which makes me just think, he's got Prowl on his mind.
He's got a Prowl growing out of him.
Which sounds disgusting. So yeah, here we go, 51. And the last, if we will take a step back and remember where we left off in ongoing, we have our precious bots from Cybertron. They've gone back to Earth, where Optimus has basically declared war without meaning to, but he was like, hey, what up, Earth? Guess what? You're part of the wider universe now.
Right.
Aliens exist.
He's not like, fuck the Earth. He's like, hey,
yeah,
you're a part of this thing now, and I'm going to represent you in it.
Right. He made some very, like, bold moves in the last one, which, if we will also recall, was deemed very, like, oh, good. I'm glad he did this by Galvatron, which means, yikes, Prime.
Yeah,
you really shouldn't have done that. But yeah, no, if a space racist named Galvatron or any space racist really supports what you're doing, you might want to take a step back and check yourself.
That's what's been going on.
But he's just sure he's got a plan. So really, at the moment, just bear in mind we have high tensions going on right now between Cybertron and the Earth and Earthlings and Cybertronians. We have a big robot roll call in the beginning here.
There's a bunch of aerial bots flying in.
Yes.
Although
I
skipped right over you. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
I like the roll call. I really like Fairborn and Jones's pictures because they just look so fed up.
It's true. I love these girls so much. And I appreciate the way that they are being presented most of the time. And yeah, you're totally right. Because both of them are kind of like, oh God, like they just look like they're over it. And of course we have an updated photo of Spike. And then we also have Zhilong Xian here with us. And of course, that's the moment that they're on either side of the president, which we saw last time. And it was like, God bless it. Why are these guys
finally
here?
The good guys are winning.
At last. Well, and that was the other problematic thing about what Optimus did was that it made Marissa second guess how she was like viewing Spike, which you're like, no. Marissa, you're right. Spike is the worst.
Don't
second guess yourself here. So we got a lot to get into. And we start out with, like you said, some flyers over West Africa.
And immediately people are shooting at them. And they're like, yeah, we don't care about any of that. You guys don't really have anything that could do anything to us. We're Transformers.
Right. It's like ground weapons and they're kind of firing up at them. And we can see the aerial bots are dropping something into the sand beneath them.
They say bombs away and we're like, oh shit, they're gonna blow up Earth.
Like, oh God, that's dangerous. So the aerial bots are kind of course speaking between each themselves as they are leaving whatever they've just dropped. And as they're talking, they start being now they're being hit from the air, and we can see that now there are Earth flight
Defense
Earth jets
Force
on them.
Type guys.
Yes. They call them, they say that they look like museum escapees, which I love, because of course these guys are like, what the shit is behind us? This, yikes.
And we see they take some hits here, and they don't respond. They just take the damage.
Right. They do not respond in kind. They're not going to fire back on the vehicles that are firing on them. And they're like, let's just go. And we can see them kind of in this last panel moving out in formation. And then we can see what they've dropped is whatever it is. It's a plant. That it's plants that are growing very quickly.
This desert is turning into something good. And they say they did a good deed.
Yeah. So, and we can see the people there are even cheering. So you're like, oh, hey. Like,
hell yeah. Nice. Love trees.
Right? We got some plants growing up in here. This is exciting. And then on this next page, suddenly things get very interesting.
For a minute, I was like, damn, did I miss something? What is...
Right. It's confusing for a moment because we see Optimus. He's missing an arm.
Right. The Mistress is aflame there.
Yeah. Mistress of Flame is huge and just towering over him. And she looks like she's on fire. Mm-hmm.
And Optimus is like groveling and she's being like, you suck. And then Soundwave is there.
Yes.
And Soundwave is like, you fucked everything up. We hate you. And then like Starscream bursts out of the ground wearing his crown. And he's like, you're me now.
He's holding Optimus's hand. And Optimus is like, wait, no, I'm not Starscream.
I'll never
I don't.
Be you.
And then his best friend Prowl's behind him holding a gun to his head.
And it's good because Optimus says, I'm never going to be like you. And Prowl is like, yeah, you are, though. So.
And then Optimus wakes up with a no. Because, of course, we know. And we'll remember last time he did have a prophetic kind of dream.
Right. He tends to have those.
It's a thing. Yeah. I mean, he's Optimus Prime. He once carried the Matrix.
You guys have heard that.
Just in case you didn't know. So he's waking up from this one and obviously very startled. And Aileron's at his door, which she was the one who heard him before. His last dream also was the one that was like directly linked to the prophecy of Dark Cybertron. Right. So this one, we don't have that, but it's a similar kind of like messed up, like clearly they're nightmares. Something's going on with Prime.
Is not good.
Right. She reveals that he's only been asleep for like 15 minutes. So he's like, what? Why are you still awake? She's like, you just went to bed, Prime. I was just reading. She was reading her bedtime stories like I do.
In the other room. And she's saying, you know, the Aerobots just did their job, but they're not doing so well. And he's like, hey, I'm sorry your best friend died. Did I say that before?
Right. Like, just as a reminder, for real, Aileron, I'm super sorry. Because, we'll remember, Sterling was blasted by the satellites over China. And Aileron kind of, this is where it's interesting. At this point in the story, she's like, well, you know, he died doing what he believed. She sounds like she's okay. Like, obviously, it's something that's going to be upsetting to her, but she's not letting it get to her. We've seen a lot of back and forth between Optimus and Aileron. And, you know, he's kind of standing by the fact that, like, you know, even though Sterling was doing what he believed in, it's still not okay that he was killed. Like, that shouldn't have happened.
Well, and it's interesting because this, like, I'm sure Optimus has died. Or has heard, well, he's died, yes. But
he has died a few times.
He's certainly heard the died doing what he believed thing, like, a lot as the commander of the Autobots, you know?
Certainly, yes. So, and even then, and so it is nice that he's like, it's still not okay, right. Like, anytime. And even then, he's saying, like, this is, he's feeling a little bit guilty for it. Like, shouldn't have been in that position.
You guys thought this would be a swashbuckling good time because I'm some demigod. But guess what? This sucks and I suck.
Well, and you know, and then of course Aileron is like, yeah, but at least you didn't lie to us. Like, which he didn't. Like, nobody told them, hey, guess what? Come with us. It's going to be all fun.
Well,
no
and
one's
she
gonna
even
get
says,
shot.
Like, what you're doing is something we believe in.
Right. She's saying that. They all believe that they are here to end a war, to spread peace, and that's something worthy of dying for.
And before we move on, it was right around this point that I stopped and, like, I was reading these and I, for the first time, and when I did, I got to this point, I thought, what do I really think about Aileron? Like, what is her purpose in this story? What is she doing here? And I think that we get answers to that later in this episode, no less. Like,
yeah,
she starts finally making some decisions and some choices.
Yeah, because right now she's kind of almost even like, not exactly, but it's almost similar to the way that Tailgate was at the start of More Than Meets the Eye, where they're kind of a way of looking at this from the outside. Because even though someone like Windblade is a Kamian, therefore she's not a Cybertronian, she hasn't been through the war, she's still now a part of all of this. Whereas right. Aileron is a complete outsider. She, you know, she's not a city speaker. She isn't part of any council or anything like that. She's very much, and she's somebody who has a very deep belief in the Prime, you know, in Prime's legacy right. and everything like that. So that's where I see her. But, and even to that point, though, you're totally right. We get a lot more out of her here, besides just being kind of a mouthpiece for someone who might not be completely familiar with all of this.
Which I was almost certainly like an interesting way to introduce her, but since like,
she's yeah, kind of just but kind of a, like, what's her point?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's her purpose of being here? So because it is. Yeah, yeah. She's just kind of been like brought along and you're like, whoa, what? She was literally just handing out pamphlets and now her friend is dead and she's hanging out with Optimus Prime taking first watch.
So it's interesting to see in these issues how she develops.
Yes.
But we go see the most interesting character.
Yeah, yeah. We are at this humongous house with our favorite, Spike Witwicky. He's talking to his mom.
Stevie. Stevie,
yes. We learn that his name is Steve. It's this whole bit. And I wish, okay, so let's take a quick moment and say, I don't have my regular notes with me because I left them. I'm recording the show at my place of, at the office offices where I work. So that's why I don't sound great again. I don't have internet yet set up at my place. So sorry, everybody, that this one kind of went back to the old way of recording the show. And, yeah, I forgot my notebook with all of my notes, so I'm going a little off
that's
the cuff
okay.
here.
We'll be all right.
But, yes, what we're to take away here is we see Spike, he's returned to his mom's house, which is a huge house.
Yeah.
Like, out in the country, which you're like, okay, his dad was a pretty high up military.
Right, he's a general, like,
yeah,
that makes sense. And his mom's crying, which, you know, nobody wants a mom to cry.
No.
It's sad. Even Spike seems like soft and human right now, which at least in the time that I've been reading these comics, I've never seen Spike in that manner. Even
right.
like hanging out with friends, Spike is usually a hard piece of shit.
Right. Like he's an unbelievable person.
Yes. What,
I mean, I guess maybe not even unbelievable because I guess I've met people
sure.
where I'm just
yeah,
like,
I've
how
met
do you
Spike
exist
Lickies
being
before?
This? Like constantly like, hey, I'm a chode. I definitely met people like that in person. We were just like, good Lord. Okay, bye. I'm done. But that's the kind of impression we usually get from Spike in these. But yeah, here he seems like a person where you're like, oh, okay, I believe you. I see some humanity in you. Because yeah, she's upset because of course she didn't know. Essentially, what this whole scene is him returning home and her being relieved because she hasn't heard from him in so long. And she knows, of course, Daniel, Spike's father, has been killed. Galvatron killed him. And so she didn't know what had become of Spike. And she's very relieved.
Yes. And he's saying, yep, I'm back and I'm going to save the Earth.
Yeah. There is, like, because she is, of course, like, wait, do you know? Because she saw then, of course, the broadcast
right.
by Optimus Prime, and she's like, do you know? She calls him the creature. And this, like, Spike then says, Optimus Prime, yeah, we used to, he used to work for me, which I'm like, fuck off,
yeah, I
Spike.
Was his boss.
Yeah, I totally bossed that guy around, but I'm like, uh-huh, sure you did. Whatever you have to tell yourself, darling, or your mom. But yeah, so she's just kind of saying, yeah, he's assuring her, like, Optimus has just malfunctioned. So he's kind of going off of this whole, like, robot
right, yeah.
kind of storyline. Like, nope, you know those movies from the 80s where robots go rogue?
That's He's what's totally happening. Johnny Five-ing right now.
Yeah, I'm going to fix it. Aw, Johnny Five.
I'm basically an engineer, Mom.
You know, I'll take care of it. I'll save everything. But yeah, so it's just a moment of humanity from Spike, and we finally, yeah, meet
and at last
Mother Witwicky.
Before he says something dumb like, I'll save the Earth.
Good Lord, Spike. I will say, I do want to toss out here, I appreciate the mention of, and it brings up an interesting thing when she does say, she starts to speak and then she's like, oh, if your sister saw me like this, which I, that one line did a couple things for me. It helped me be like, oh my, because of course, like when I first was reading this moment, I was like, really? Women just sit around and cry in this issue? Like, I get that she's glad her son is alive, sure, and everything, but like, she was married to General Witwicky and she isn't a little harder than this. So I appreciate that we get this idea that one, Spike has a sister, and two, that she wouldn't, you know, she would right. kind of be the harder person than that I want in this scenario. So I appreciate that. That kind of saves this moment for me and lets me go, okay, this lady's allowed to,
right.
you know,
the,
not like allowed to, but you know what
I mean.
Normally
like this, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And we even get more of that when Spike jumps in the shield helicarrier Quinjet that lands on their front lawn.
Yes.
And says, like, this is, you're, right now you're doing what happened to my dad before Megatron invaded. So it's not, you're not doing great right now, friend.
Right, right.
I do like that it's Jones picking him up and she's giving him shit about the name.
Right. She, right, because she's like, oh, what? Your name is Stevie? He's like, yeah. She's like, oh, okay, because you have a dog's name. and yeah, oh God, I really do love Jones and Fairchild, or Fairborn, pardon me. So yeah, so she picks him up. Because of course, and yeah, we do have Mrs. Witwicky wanting him to stay longer, understandably. But, you know, sorry, Mom, he's got a universe to save. He's got to save the Earth.
I would like to say here, on the previous yeah. page, we never see him from, like, the chest. We never see below his chest. And on this page, all we see is, like, thigh level. So I'm just going to assume he's wearing jorts.
There you go. It's canon now.
That's... Even in that, like, bottom left panel, kind
yeah,
of a cuff
you can't...
thing going on there.
Right. Yeah. I believe it. It's, if any of you have ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, there's a character who, like, loves wearing jean shorts. So that's... That's what I'm gonna think of now is him wearing those same shorts.
We're actually launching a new show called Jortin' Around with Spike Witwicky.
Yep, stay tuned, everyone.
The new Jort adventures, and so we see all of these bots around the globe.
Yeah. So this helping. Next page, I love this page.
Yeah.
Like. My notes for this, I do remember taking notes on this page. They all just said Yas Queen, because we have in this first panel, we have the torchbearers and they're in the Middle East, and it says, and we have some voiceovers in all of these panels. So we have the torchbearers and it says they are stopping radicals from attacking a girl's school in the Middle East, which Yas Queen. Mm-hmm. And then we have this next panel, which says that, and we see Jazz and he is blocking, let's say, overzealous authority in Detroit, and we can see it's Jazz standing in front of a right. youth, and between the youth and an officer who has his gun drawn, which, you know, we all know what that's related to.
Good old Detroit.
Yep. Yas Queen. Thank you, Jazz. And then we have a TC, and he is providing internet access to poverty-stricken Balkan villages.
Right.
Yas Queen. These are all great. And then we do see this last one is, she says, and it's the president talking. She's the voice over here. She says she doesn't know what they were doing in Singapore, but we see some ship, some helicopter is firing on Sunstreaker, who's just shielding Bob, which I'm like, what are you doing in Singapore, babe? What are you doing?
He doesn't want Bob to get hurt.
Well, yes, obviously that. But what are you guys doing in Singapore?
Bob got loose and he went out to Singapore.
Bob wanted to go see Singapore. What do you do?
And so the president is talking to Fairborn here and saying, like, we can't trust these menaces.
Your friends are
It's
everywhere,
right. It's
Director
very much an
Fairborn.
Autobot threat or menace kind of situation. It's very J. Jonah Jameson.
That's
And
right.
they even mention Fairborn says it looks like they're trying to protect people, and the
Yeah.
president says that's not what the mayor of Detroit is telling me. And as
Yeah.
someone who lives on the Ohio-Michigan border, I can tell you the mayor of Detroit is Mike Dugan, and that guy's all right.
Oh, that's good.
There you go.
Detroit is one of those, yeah, like I have family from Detroit, and it's yeah, Detroit's trying. I'll give it
Yep.
that much.
It's
I
a
will say
heck of a
that.
city you got there.
That's right. It'll be all
And
right.
Fairborn is saying, like, well, they haven't, even though we fired on them, they haven't fired back at all. And the president is like, well,
Yeah.
they might.
Right. She's still very skeptical. Like, clearly, all of the things that they're witnessing right now are really great things. Like, these are things that humans should be doing. I mean, really, and aren't.
Right. To be
Just,
fair,
taking care of each other.
she was sort of elected as the tough on giant robots that killed us all that one time candidate.
I
Like,
mean,
that was
fair.
her
That
platform.
was, yeah. Yeah, so she's got that to maintain, and I respect that. And again, I love that she's Viola Davis,
Right.
Viola Davis, pardon me. So I'm not certainly the president is not nearly on the same level with me as like Spike Witwicky. The president right now, I'm like she's got a job to do. But yeah, she's still very skeptical because that's she's they're witnessing all these things, but she's like, yeah, but how long until they do fire back? How long until this doesn't keep going the in a good
Right.
direction?
And
And Marissa's even saying like we like today is a day that like things should be happening today, which is a little ominous.
and we see Jones and Spike and also what's his name?
Jian?
Yeah,
Or
he's the yeah, the
Zilong
leader of Planff.
Qian. Yeah, Zilong
They're heading toward Thundercracker's hideout because they figured,
Qian.
well, where's the one place we know robots were? Let's check
Right.
that
Right.
out.
They've seen them. Yeah, they kind of saw the fact that, like, everybody. Because if we'll recall, TC was like, okay, here's the Wi-Fi password. This is, how you. These are the channels. And yeah, this is how you get to my. Like digital cable. So, yes, so they're all headed to TC's house.
And we get the voice over here saying the mission is containment. Don't engage unless you have to. And by that, I mean I'm going to kill all of these robots. And Spike is like, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, Zilong's great. And then I do want to point out that Jones isn't saying men, and I'm like, can we please just stop? This whole page, because everybody stop.
I
But
want
yeah.
to imagine Spike is like, I'm starting to like this guy. I'm starting to want to kiss him.
Yeah, see, now that would be interesting. And that would not like adhere to these like weird gender norms that like I feel like anytime the humans come up, and really it is like it's not that bad. Like we really don't have to deal with it much in these stories. Please do not get me wrong. We're pretty lucky. But the fact that there are times when I'm just like, good, seriously, can we stop? And then of course, on the other hand, we have More Than Meets the Eye, where we were constantly kind of celebrating the things that they do to break gender norms and what have you over there. So just, I think maybe if they weren't side by side, it wouldn't be as apparent. But maybe I'm not making any sense at all. In which case, I apologize, everybody, for derailing us.
And so they say, yep, there's heat signatures. Let's get ready to take our world back
There's
to
constant action,
Independence Day
movie.
this.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we cut to all of the Autobots here.
Which, oh my God, I love this panel. Look at all my kids in this panel. I love these idiots. We got RC, we got Trax, we got Sideswipe. Oh, he's still hurt, but at least he's getting help for it. We got Sunny. I'm
Bob
so
and Buster and
excited. We
Doc.
got, oh my goodness, I love this panel. I love all these bots. They're all great. Ian. this little pupper.
Even Wheeljack gets mentioned.
Oh my god, he gets mentioned by Trax, which I have like a crack headcanon where like Trax and Wheeljack are my pairing. So I was excited about it. I'm gonna be real with everybody here. Yeah, I was very excited that Trax was like, oh yeah, thank god Wheeljack was able to like make that work. And I'm like, yep, you guys are dating. So that's where we're at. We are with the Autobots, and yeah, Trax has joined everybody. Because of course his brother is with Soundwave and the Decepticons.
Right, on the Decepticommune.
Yes.
And classic Optimus style. Hey, Trax, I need you for something. And RC right. is like, yep, good to see that you're alive too, because we kind of weren't there for a
right.
minute.
It like, I just imagine like Optimus is trying to get work done and she's like, hey, PS, yep, Sideswipe's doing fine and I'm doing better. Thanks for asking, dick.
Good to know you care about our morale, Chief.
Thanks, Dad. Appreciate it. But of course, yes, Optimus is, like we just said, Trax has a brother who is a Decepticon. Optimus needs to play his cards right here. And he's kind of saying like he wants to reach out to the Decepticommune, and Sunstreaker, of course, is very upset. He's like, look at my brother, hashtag amazing, in that tube over there. He is very hurt. They did that to him, and you want to go talk to them. So, of course, he's very upset. There's a lot of shouting, and people are very, very tense.
Right.
Very high levels of stress here. And then
Sunstreaker
and Aileron,
wants to kill some Decepticons.
Yeah, and Aileron's kind of like, oh my god, all of you shut up. Like, you guys should all be on the same side, Autobots and the Decepticons.
You're all Cybertronians. What's
right,
the deal?
You guys are all Cybertronians, and humans are murdering you. You guys should be working together, is essentially what she's getting at.
Right. Sunstreaker, to his credit, is like, whoa, hey, come on. Not all humans are like that, but all Decepticons are.
Well, and it's huge to me. Like, if I can nerd out for a moment with anybody else who's kind of with me here, who's been reading IDW for so long, this is huge coming from Sunny. Like, the fact that Sunny would respond to Aileron being like, listen, humans are killing us. The fact that he would turn around and be like, they aren't all like that, is gigantic, because All Hail Megatron happened because Sunstreaker wanted all humans to die. After the Headmaster experiments, he was so just shaken up and tormented that he was like, okay, just obliterate all of them. So this is, to me at least, this is a very massive thing to
sure,
have this character say. Yeah. The fact that he'd be like, whoa, Aileron, cool it. Some humans are all right. I'm like, whoa, honey, you almost got all the Autobots murdered because you hated humans so much. So, I mean, I love you, babe, but that's a thing that happened. Just putting that out there.
But Aileron ain't hearing none of it.
Yeah.
She's saying, hey, my friend died. I don't know if that happened to any of you ever, but like...
Right. Like, guess what? And so she's like, that's where she is. And Optimus is like, yes, look, we've all had some bad times regarding humans.
Let's all just hang out and have some frosty milkshakes.
We're going to talk. We're going to call up Soundwave.
And she says, fuck you, Dad. And flies out.
Yeah, she's done. She's done pussyfooting around. She's like, okay, you guys want to talk? I'm going to go talk. And she blows open the hatch of their ship. I assume they're in the Sky Roller. I'm not entirely sure. Oh my goodness, look at how cute this panel is, because she throws open the door. So, of course, like, all the air is being sucked out, which means all the bots are okay. But then we see Doc, and he's got a little Buster wrapped up in his... Well,
I didn't even notice that.
The Buster won't go flying out the hatch. It's precious.
And with that, we realize, oh, they're not at Thundercracker's barn.
Oh, yeah. So we have Aileron. She takes off of the ship. Which, P.S., before we go to TC's house, that last panel there, after the cuteness with the Doc and Buster.
Sure.
Look how gorgeous that is.
That's very gorgeous.
Josh, look at you go. It's beautiful colors. Like, we have the sunset going. It's a great display. And I just want to, shout out my friend Josh. So yes, so we go to Tissy's house. The humans have gotten there. They're like, damn it, they're not here. They were wrong.
Yeah, they're
a dick.
These...
Spike is a dick about it.
Right, and we can see Jorts, just full Jorton right there. And he's saying they left these heat projectors so that they could, that they would think that they were here.
Right.
And Jones is like, man, I don't think that's what this is about. Check this out. And they go inside, and on all the screens and written everywhere is, we are here to help.
Which
is some weird ass customer service.
It is some weird ass customer service. You're not wrong. P.S. I think I would laugh for a day straight if on that panel, like as they're in the snow outside of TC's house, if Spike was wearing jorts in that panel.
It still looks like it to me. Still plausible.
I could redo that panel. That'll be the album art. But yes, so they see they find these messages that just say, we're here to help. And of course, so they call back to the president and Marissa. And Jones is kind of like, you know, she's wanting to kind of take this slowly.
Right.
And the president does even say, she's like, okay, do these things have a sense of humor? Like, she's trying to figure out what she's dealing with here. And Jones is like, I mean, some of them are funny, but, you know, I don't, this isn't. And of course, Spike is being a dick. And he's just like, he's always like, Spike is that dude where somebody, like, if you're in a room of panicky people, you have your people who are ready to be like, okay, everybody just like take a moment, step back,
let's
take a look
out
at this. And Spike is like, oh my God, start making out your wills, start calling your next of kin. We're all gonna die here. That's him. That's his part in this story.
They're aliens, Madam President.
They don't think like us. They don't die like us. I would know. I killed one with my bare hands. I'm amazed he didn't say it. And then,
true.
Of course, Marissa is like, hey, shut up, because we have more things in common than you would think. Maybe you'd know that if you didn't run around killing Transformers with your bare hands. And so, yeah, Marissa and Jones are both kind of like, okay. Again, they're the people in the room who are trying to bring some order, bring some calm here.
Let's figure this out.
Yeah, because they're even saying, like, look, what all of the things we've seen them do lately in this last run, it's been helping. Like, they've shown through their actions that they are trying to be helpful. And then, of course, Joan says, Jazz made it clear they weren't here to hurt us. And Spike,
oh, Jazz, you mean the robot that kills humans?
He killed a guy. And I'm like, uh-huh, a guy. So did you, dick.
He's killed probably a lot of guys.
Well, that's the... they're all very, very hung up on the fact, which, like, you know what? Yeah, Jazz did kill a guy. But you know what? That dude, if I'm going to play devil's advocate here... If we're going to step back, that dude was waving around a Megatron brand gun.
Right,
and those guns were like making people crazy and making people behave oddly. Jazz didn't have a whole lot of choices in the moment.
Spike, you were in the military. You should like.
Right. Spike, man, shut the hell up, dude. And of course, yeah, he's like, don't forget, Jazz killed that guy. And they're like, oh my God, shut up. Nobody's forgetting that. We're just saying, in the here and now, this is what's going on.
And so we have the president talking to Fairborn again, and Fairborn's saying, like, look, the Decepticons are the ones who killed all those guys. You figure out pretty quick who the good guys and bad guys are. And he says, well, it sounds like you're friends with these guys. And Fairborn is like, no, but I mean, like, I get it.
Right. Like, she doesn't necessarily side with them, but she feels some understanding towards them. And
I really don't know what happened to Spike in this panel.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Zilong is saying, like, okay, yeah, it does seem like there are two different groups, and then Spike looks just obliterated in this next panel. And he's saying, but Optimus, like, yeah, Zilong is saying there's the group that
right.
wants
he's
our
saying
resources.
There's two sides and both these sides suck.
Right.
And Spike is saying, and Optimus wants to take over the Earth.
And then he, of course, oh God, I'm not even going to give him time anymore. I don't care. Yeah, he's being a douche. I'm sick of listening to him. It just boils down to there's a lot of talking between humans. And as this is all happening, Aileron is flying in and she lands on the White House lawn.
Yeah. And the president is like, I mean, it's not like robots, just what? And there Aileron is calling out the president and saying, hey, you humans, it's time to not.
We're going to have a chat.
Yep.
You killed my BFF.
How dare you, all of you.
Yeah, I need you to come out here and surrender
you
right now.
You 6 billion pieces of trash.
Exactly.
And the president is like, all right, what does this thing want? And Farrakhan's like, I think it's a lady, not a guy. And
so there you go. There's a moment where I'm like, oh, okay. There's a little glimmer of the kind of interesting discourse we get regarding Transformers and their genders. Because, yeah, the president keeps saying, oh, he wants terms. I got terms for him. And Farrakhan's like, I think that one's a she. Just throwing that out there. And of course, the president doesn't care. She's right. Just like, who? Whatever. Because of course, there are the two we've praised
right, the cone
them before.
Heads.
Yeah, the conehead mechs outside of the White House, and they attack Aileron. Which of course, she wasn't like. She was like, wait, no, I'm here to talk. Wait, stop. And of course, even the fact that then she is attacked, she's like, okay, cool. You're just proving my point.
Right.
Humans just keep attacking, even though I show up and say, well, I mean, she did call out like, hey, surrender to me. But then luckily, Optimus in like truck mode comes like shooting over the fence. And he's like, hey, I'm here. I'm going to help you out. And then Sunny's here and they're both taking out the cone heads.
Right.
And then, of course, it's just a full on fight.
And the president is totally Animal House and Fairborn. And Fairborn's like, just chill. I mean, we're in the bunker that nothing happens in, right? And Optimus is getting shot by a tank. And he's like, look, Aileron, I understand. You're upset. But the humans have, like, been killed by a lot of us, too. So
yeah, like, a lot of humans have died because of Cybertronian. So when you show up at the White House demanding they talk to you, they don't like it. And this is why they keep hating us.
Right. And so the Fairborn, man, I'm all over the place today, is saying like, hey, this is our opportunity, right? Like, I don't want to do this, but now is probably the time to do this.
Yeah. And she calls Xilong and she's like, all right,
you got that thing, right?
Right.
Thing
China's been you? Keeping watch. He's like,
okay, it's happening. And a satellite blows Optimus's arm off.
Ooh, which of course we'll remember his dream where he only had one arm.
Although I would like to point out in the dream, it's the other arm that's missing.
Exactly. That's what I noticed too. Especially now that I'm super in love with a dude who's missing an arm. I'm like, well, hey, that's a different arm.
There you go.
You got to know which arm is missing.
And Optimus is like, God, I'm just trying to help. And Fairborn.
Poor Optimus.
Right. He's like, oh, what a day. Fairborn says fire again. And she looks very resolute and like.
Yeah.
A laser.
She was ready to take out Optimus Prime.
Yeah, she was ready to kill Optimus Prime.
Again.
Yeah, man.
And because this laser's heading right for him. But then it suddenly like turns at a 90 degree angle before it hits him. And thank goodness Victorian's here.
Victorian deflects the laser.
Yes.
The gravity control that we know Victorian has.
Yeah, and she lifts up her friends. Which, by the way, my voice in my head for Victorian is Estelle Garnett from...
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, because I'm like, she's a fusion. So that's what I imagine. Steven Universe spoilers. Sorry.
I mean, it's not a very well-kept secret.
Yeah, that's fair. She kind of lifts up Optimus and Sunstreaker and Aileron. She's like, come on, you guys. Let's go.
Just picking them up like cats. And the president is saying, where'd they go? But they...
Yes, they have light deflectors, Victorian does, that she, because, yeah, and Marissa knows this. She says the big one, she's bending lights, she's made them invisible. I do love on the panel before that, that Sunstreaker says, like, Victorian picks them up, and Sunstreaker goes, I guess you could say things got out of hand, which is wonderful to me, because I'm like, yes, give me jackass twins. This is what I want. This is what I need. I'm so glad Sunstreaker made that stupid, stupid joke. Thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. But yes, so Victorian has hidden them, and she's, yeah, taking the smaller bots away with her. And the president's saying, like, oh my God, those robots could have killed us.
Right.
And Spike, I remember taking a note about this too. Here's what's interesting, and I'm going to take a moment, and as if I don't talk enough on this show, Spike, and by talk, I mean just kind of like rant.
we have opinions about Spike.
Well, the president says they could have killed us, and Spike says, but they didn't. Optimus wanted to talk. That is his weakness. He can kill us, but he won't. And I just want to take a moment here and just say this was kind of always my thought regarding the base storyline of Transformers. Like, if we go back to Generation 1 and the fact that we had the Autobots and the Decepticons on Earth, it was always like, because Spike isn't wrong. And the fact that Optimus Prime won't kill them means that assholes like Spike can keep going, okay, then how do I murder him? And, like, not that that was a plot point of Generation 1, but that was always kind of my thought, was the fact that I was like, and, I'm sure people have very different opinions on Gen 1, just because there's a lot of wiggle room there. You can make up all sorts of theories and whatnot. Just because, yeah, it was a show to sell toys. But I remember thinking, like, at least Megatron's doing something. Like, yeah, he's stealing our resources, but it's to save Cybertron. What the hell is Optimus doing? Hanging out, trying to, just waiting to stop right. Megatron? Like, he's not doing anything.
He's not accomplishing anything.
He's just trying to save humans, which I'm like, Spike is proving right now, it's kind of pointless. Like, even as a human, I'm like, dude, you're going to have to kill some of them. Named Spike Witwicky.
Just get that dude out of here. That guy, please.
Just that one. Just end him. Just stop it. So anyway, so there's just my thought there. And the fact that, God, Spike, you just don't stop. So the, yeah, him being like, Optimus can kill us, but he won't. I'm like, uh-huh, he sure should.
Yeah, you deserve it. and so we have everybody coming back to safety here. There's Skylinks telling a story. That's his thing he does. And Dad is trying very hard to be understanding of his petulant teenage daughter here.
Yes, he's like, Theron, I know what you were trying to do. And she's like, stop it. Just don't even try to relate to me, Dad.
And
RC comes out, and his other daughter is like, what the hell? Where is your arm? What did you do? And he's like, oh. So they got a little upset. They didn't feel like talking to us. They shot my arm off.
I mean, I get it. and we get a really great page here where Optimus is like, I know what to do. And he goes and he's talking to somebody. He says, I should have reached out earlier. The road I've chosen is not easy, and it affects all of you. And we see Starscream, the Mistress of Flame, and Soundwave.
And it's Optimus looking at all three of them and saying, it's time we talked. Which, ooh, yeah,
that's a banger right there. And they all look great, too.
They look fantastic. This is a very handsome last page. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, super hot. Like, I'm into all of these people. I'm feeling this last page. It's one of those very powerful moments where you're like, you have Optimus Prime speaking directly on, like, a conference call, but, like, they have holograms, so it's even more poignant to Starscream and, yeah, the Mistress of Flame and Soundwave, who all hold very
prestigious positions.
Yes, yes. Very powerful dominion in their different places.
Well, it made me think, like, damn, does Optimus really respect the Decepticon meme that much? Like, that's cool.
He should. Yeah. Right. And that's the thing, because, and you're totally right, like, does he? And the fact that my immediate thought is, well, he should. And clearly that's where he's at too, because that's a lot. Like, you can't just discount the fact that Soundwave is trying to
meaningful. Yeah.
Yeah. And he is. And it means a lot. This isn't just some hippy dippy dream of his. This is him being like, listen, I want to stop. I just want all of us to be cool to each other. But also, you are not a Prime. Shut up and stop saying that. Like, that's really where Prime and Soundwave are falling apart here. Which makes sense, because it's the same kind of, not the exact same idea, but a similar idea to the way that, right, obviously, at the very beginning of the war, Optimus and Megatron started off wanting the same thing, basically. So yeah. Anyway, it's a really great last page. It's a really, really great last panel. I love it.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that gets us into 52 here.
Yeah.
Which has a really, really cool cover. It's Galvatron and RC, so we know we're going to be getting some of that. But
our favorite, just little, I don't even know how to describe them. We have our space racist slash like grandpa, because he's been around forever. And then we have like the young, powerful lady who's like, I'm sick of your shit, but also right, I have to work with you. It's but it's a good dynamic. These two have a really great dynamic. So
I don't like you and you don't like me, but we're going to have to work together if we want to.
Yeah, they got to figure something out together.
And so we hop in. We got the roll call here. Everybody looks great. Some people of note, we have Galvatron, Skywarp, and Blackrock are in the list this time around.
Yeah, along with like Rattrap and Bumblebee and Cosmos.
I like Bumblebee's title of Ghost? Hallucination?
Question marks? I like these question marks make total sense. Question marks are the ends of statements. Right. One of the funniest things to me. It will make me laugh almost every time. Gravity Falls is like the king of putting question marks at the end of statements and making me laugh. But yes, Bumblebee, who the hell knows what his deal is, but he's here.
And so we get into the meat of this issue, and up front we can see it's Livio art, but it seems like cleaner than usual. Like the lines are a little stronger than they normally are. And I like it a lot. It works really good in some pages here.
I agree with you. There are some moments in this issue that I'm like, hey, I mean, not that like, clearly whenever Livio art comes up, like not that like it usually isn't anything that we have to be like, you know, make commentary on, just because right, he's one of the artists and we get his art regularly, but yeah, there are a few moments in this issue that I was like, oh, I really like how he handled this panel or what have you. So yeah, but you're right, it's a bit cleaner, it doesn't have as much texture to it,
right? And we have Galvatron sitting here watching TV talking about Optimus. We have Blackrock. Okay, this, I gotta be real with you. I love Blackrock now. Like, all it took.
All it took was taking off his damn face.
Yup. Like, it's totally this goofy, like, Westworld Terminator look. And he's still wearing a suit. And, like, it just seems so good to me. I can't get enough of it.
Real talk, he's more likable without his human face.
His
agree with you.
Smug piece of shit punchable human face.
Yeah.
He just looks, I mean, he can't
he's
emote,
like sitting
and I
next
like
to
it.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just hanging out next to Galvatron, who's sitting down watching TV. He's watching the broadcast of Optimus punching a cone head off.
It's remarkable. And so Galvatron is saying a bunch of things about Optimus that are very negative, and Blackrock is like, oh geez, you really you don't like that guy, huh? And of course Galvatron being Galvatron is like, nope, I love all those things, ha ha ha.
Those things are great to me,
because in Galvatron's eyes he's acting like a Prime.
Right, because he even says his Galvatron's remark is, how I feared Optimus was Prime in name only. Right. So I do like that we have very differing opinions between these bots on what Optimus Prime, like what the Prime name means when it comes to Optimus. And Galvatron, clearly, Galvatron, which again, you don't want a space racist backing up what you're doing.
Sure.
But when Galvatron sees the things that Optimus has been doing, he's like, this is great. This is exactly what a Prime should be doing, which is what people like Starscream were saying, yeah, which is why we can't have Optimus Prime be given power, because he's a Prime and Prime's the worst. which just kind of, you know, backs up Starscream's statements right. some more here, and sound waves, and, you know, etc. But anyway, he's, you know, but yeah, Galvatron's saying, yeah, this is all great. I'm glad to see what Optimus is doing. And I have an appointment. I got to go. dinner's in the oven. Just, you know, get it when it beeps.
Skywarp is there, and Galvatron is like, hey, Skywarp. Oh, yeah, yeah. God, BlackRock is like, hey, that guy sucks, right? And Skywarp is like, well, I mean, yeah, but like, and BlackRock is like, hey, come here a minute. Let me whisper in your ear, little mama.
That's literally what he says to him.
That's the text I'm reading from the page there. That's from
Yeah. And BlackRock's kind of, he's got a pitch for Skywarp. He's saying, you help me, I can help you.
He's a shifty boy.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut back to Icon with my fave. And it's Starscream here, who, again, looks like he's speaking to himself. But we know he's right. got a pal.
maybe he is speaking to himself. We don't know.
We're not entirely sure. Starscream is speaking to what he believes to be Bumblebee.
Exactly. And he's saying, like, man, I can't believe Optimus is a dumb jerk.
He's reveling in the fact that people are furious with what Optimus is doing, which makes sense when you look at it from Starscream's point of view. Because, of course, yeah, Bumblebee is like, Starscream, come on, like, don't be a dick. And Starscream's like, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
Right.
Starscream, finally, he gets to be in charge. Starscream is in charge of Cybertron. And, you know, for the past 4 million years, Optimus has been this, like, beacon of everything Starscream was against. And the fact that, but people still loved him. And so the fact that now Starscream is the one in control of Cybertron and people now hate Optimus is huge.
Good.
And yeah. And like he says, like, it isn't because of a lie Starscream made up. It isn't because of anything anyone else has done. It is purely because of Optimus's own actions. And that means the most to Starscream.
Right. Like, Starscream didn't even have to do anything to win this one. Optimus fucked himself.
Right.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Way to go, Prime. And that's also the panel I really liked. This one of Starscream and Bumblebee next to each other. They both look really good. Like, Starscream looks really good in that panel.
The colors in this issue are great.
Yes.
And so Optimus is here, and he is... the other thing we should point out, Rat Trap comes in, and he's like, hey, he's here. And Starscream is like, who cares?
Because
Optimus Starscream is giving this big presentation.
Yeah, Optimus has come back because, of course, we last saw him on Earth. And now we are like, okay, he's back on Cybertron. And Starscream's just in his room. So Rattrap has gone to retrieve him. And he's like, oh, hey, Optimus just got here. Should I let everybody know you're on your way? And Starscream's like, listen, sweetheart, I'm the ruler of Cybertron. Optimus is literally nothing. So I don't go by his schedule. I will show up when I feel like showing up.
And Optimus is here giving his speech. His windshield wipers look weird for some reason.
They do. They kind of look like claws.
They look broken or something. I don't know what's going on there.
Somebody got real mad. They twisted him up.
They tweaked his nips. And Rat Trap is saying, like, he's busy. Don't worry about him. And Windblade is like, look, dude, I mean, like, you're not on the council. You know that, right?
Right, yeah. Even Windblade is like, okay, but
Optimus is a friend.
Right. Optimus is like, but wait, Starscream doesn't see it fit to be here. And Windblade's like, sorry, man, we're not going to start without him. Because Starscream is a member of this council, and you're not. So, and then finally, Starscream shows up, so it doesn't have to get too awkward. And Starscream fucking knows what he's doing. He's like, I hope you didn't start without me. I'm here. And of course, Optimus is just like, Optimus knows he's being played by this dude. He's just like, thanks. I appreciate you guys giving me an audience. And yeah, he's got some stuff to talk about.
Right.
I love it because, sorry, you can go ahead.
No, I really like Starscream, like, sneaking in and being like, oh, sorry, I'm late.
Yeah, he's such a little, and he knows what he's doing. And it's so good because, like, Optimus, who, of course, like, if we just think about these two very differing dynamics here, we have Optimus, who is very, like, by the book. He's
right.
going to try to be... Yeah. And so he starts by saying, we have much to discuss. And Starscream's response is, well, you got that right, bucko. Which is perfect. I love it. And he then just lays into Optimus. He's like, did you want to talk about the fact that you started an interstellar war?
How's your war going, dude?
Yeah. What's all that about?
Liking your empire?
Yeah. Remember that thing you just did? Are we going to talk about that? Huh? Prime? Is that what we're going to talk about?
And Optimus is like, guys, you know that that's not like what I do, right? And Windblade is like, dog, we've been friends for like a couple months, but like, I don't know what the fuck you're doing right now.
Yeah, she, like, they can't back him up on this. Like, they can't just say, no, Optimus, we get you. Because the facts are the facts. And the facts are that he went to another world and was like, hey, guess what? You are part of the bigger universe now, and I'm going to represent you.
Yeah. And so we have these, which planet is this again? The Alita One, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't remember the name of it, though.
We have Obsidian.
Okay, that makes sense.
I cannot think of her name. I'm so sorry, I don't have my notes in front of me, and her name is escaping me right now. I apologize, but yes, Alita's second in command in Obsidian.
Right, they're here as representatives of that world. And they're saying like, hey, we actually hate this guy because he's done a lot of really shitty things. Your actions are unprecedented. And Starscream is like, allow me to pick up on that point.
Oh, yeah. And he gets into it. But like in a very like calculated way. And this is where I appreciate so much the way that John writes Starscream. Because he's smart and he is on top of it. And this is what he does. So Starscream brings up a whole slew of pictures. And he's like, let's observe. We got Nova Prime, we got Sentinel Prime, we got Zeta Prime, we have Megatron, who is now an Autobot, which
he's a member of your little club.
Yeah, he needs Optimus to remind him, what are they called again? Oh, Autobots, that's right. And then, lastly, we have Optimus Prime. And all of these people, all of these Primes, all of these people who have claimed this power...
They're all pretty terrible.
Yeah, all this corruption on Cybertron has kind of come from these people.
And he says, I know it sounds like a noble position to you guys, but out here, being a Prime usually means you're about to kill a whole bunch of people who don't deserve to be killed.
Right, and he's saying, like, they...
It's not a chosen position.
They took that power.
Yeah.
Yes. Starscream is, again, resting on his laurels of the fact that the Titan chose... Starscream. The Titan claimed Starscream to be a chosen one.
Well, whereas all the Primes... Well, he says that you were all chosen by the people of your worlds as well.
Yes. Yeah. So he's like relating to this council and being like, you were all chosen. I was chosen. Because he was. Not only did the Titan, of course,
he was proclaim duly Starscream elected.
Chosen. Yes, he was elected to his position. And and that's where he's really driving it home. He's like, not only do we have all this long list of Primes plus Megatron... who have done all of these things, but then none of them were even chosen by the people they claim to represent. But all of us were. Everybody on this council was. And Optimus, of course, is very upset by this. And he slams his fist in the table, which I would say, Optimus, cool it, baby. Maybe not the best way to get your point across.
Not selling your point here, dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop manipulating these people, Starscream. Don't make them think I'm bad.
He is essentially saying, like, hey, stop talking because you are just trying to deceive them. He's saying they can think for themselves without your web of deceit. Which then, of course, Starscream's just like, okay, I'm glad you brought up thinking for yourself, because guess who else hates you? Everyone.
Right. There's kind of riots happening because of your imperialism. Like, all that stuff that I've been working really, really hard to not do, you're just doing it, man.
Right, like, I know, like, Starscream is the villain here, I get it, but he's not wrong. Everybody, like, I'm with him, everybody kept being like, Starscream's gonna make an empire, don't let Starscream make an empire, he's gonna do it, don't let him do it. And then Optimus, who didn't even mean to, Optimus accidentally is... looking like he's sowing the seeds of an empire, which of course, like, and when you do know what we know, being the readers of this, you're more apt to believe, well, no, that's not what Optimus meant. Of course, we know Optimus.
Right.
But the people of Cybertron and the colonies
turn the
don't
knife
know.
There. He's like, oh, hey, by the way, this guy died because of you.
Yeah, look at this picture of Sterling. He's dead. Remember that guy?
Yeah. and he's saying, like, look, nobody here wants this to happen but you, talking about the annexing and all this stuff.
Right.
He's like, so, okay, bye.
Yeah, he's just like, that's me done. I'm out. And even Knockout is here saying, like, listen, he says the power of the primes comes from actions, not a name, which is a call out. Obviously, he's just kind of like, right. Yeah, do something if you are going to be calling yourself this. And even Windblade is kind of like, listen, I'm sorry, dog, we are friends. Now you got me doing it. But this is where I always got to come back to Optimus. Like, he's aware. Like, she apologizes for the fact that she can't kind of back him up on this. And he says, no, don't be sorry.
Right. He's like, no, and, yeah, I mean, I get it. I did a thing.
And he says, I understood what I was bringing upon myself, which my question is, did you, babe? Like, did you actually know? Because I don't imagine you in good conscience would have done this.
It seemed like a rash action at the time.
Yeah, still like, wait, I gotta like do something. It. Agreed. So then we hop back over to Earth.
Right, and we have another clandestine Galvatron RC meeting.
Galvatron gets dropped off by his teenage son, Astro Train, who can drive.
It's a pretty cute little exchange here.
It is. I love him.
Galvatron is just ragging on him, and he doesn't even realize it. and he's like, pick me up when I call you.
Like, just leave me here. God, just leave me alone. I got something to do. I'll let you know when I'm done. So Astro Train does leave him. And you're like, what's Galvatron doing in this volcano?
And, you know, RC is like, hey, let's have a conversation, but also let's try to kill each other the whole time.
Like, I'm going to fly at you with swords to start our discourse.
And she's trying to slice him with a sword. He's like, hi, RC. And she's like, why did you do that stuff on the Ark? That was mean.
Right.
And he's like, oh, yeah, didn't Brawl kill you? And she's like, no.
I love hearing you just kind of lay out what these guys are saying to each other.
I like summing it up.
It's good.
And he's like, well, that's too bad, because if he did, I would have brought him and I would have let you kill him. he's, you know, doing the scary bad guy banter back and forth.
Right, but like, oh, none of this affects me. You're attacking me.
Very
I don't even care.
And cool.
Yes, absolutely. Do not mistake either of them. He does say that, yes, he would have brought Brawl along so that she could have beaten the crap out of him, you know, make her feel better. And he's saying, well, I know why you brought me here. And she's like, yeah, you think you know. Jeez, they're all the same. It boils down to the fact that she, of course, she's got a lot of things to deal with. Because, of course, now we know she's in with Galvatron. Mm-hmm. But she's, of course, loyal to Optimus. Mm-hmm. And that's why Galvatron thinks that she's brought him here, or she's asked him to meet her here.
Right.
And he says that he is worried. Galvatron doesn't want the Dynasty of Primes to reassert itself. And she, of course, is like, you're full of shit. You just want to keep the Earth because you're an awful space racist and nobody can trust you. Even in this whole time, she is defending Optimus when he's saying, listen, this is what your boy is doing. She's like, no, he's not the same as the other primes.
And he's saying, like, well, can you be so sure that Optimus is doing this on his own here? Prowl is in his brain.
Right. He reminds us all that Optimus has been part of a combiner. And you know who else was part of that combiner? Prowl.
That
which, of
guy
course,
we
RC...
all hate.
I still love him. And RC, of course, is like, she knows right away who he's talking about because RC's had to deal with Prowl a lot.
That's a good way to phrase it. And
Yeah, Galvatron brings up the fact that like Optimus is a little more ruthless. He's a little more, quick to move on things, which kind of backs up what we were just saying with what he did with Earth. Like it was a pretty brash, bold decision that he made. So Galvatron's kind of planting the seed that like, maybe he's got some other influence from other bots, particularly Prowl.
Interesting.
Yes.
And so
But our,
RC's snap
yeah.
back is just like, you're just mad because your plan didn't work.
Right. You're just mad because you thought China was going to work out, and then Optimus showed up and handed you your ass.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. And Galvatron's just like, listen, you and I both know we cannot depend on allies. Like he's kind of being like, I don't know why.
Well, she says, you don't have any friends. And he's like, I don't
Yeah.
need friends.
Right. And he brings up to her, like, neither one of us are people who need that because, and then of course they do kind of touch on this whole RC and gender thing again, because he's saying it's an ally who turned you into what you are. And now she's kind of turning this around. She's saying, this is who I was always meant to be. There's a moment in the first season of Game of Thrones, like at the very beginning of it, where Tyrion, who is the dwarf, is talking to one of the characters who is a bastard, and he's saying, listen, the sooner you just accept, guess what? I'm a bastard, then nobody can hold it against you. Like, you are letting people affect you by calling you this and using this to taunt you if you just kind of own it. Because, of course, Tyrion the dwarf is like, yeah, who cares? I'm a dwarf and I'm still smarter than most people. And, so that's kind of where I feel like RC is getting to at this point. She's just like, yep, guess what? I'm who I am and I can still kick your ass. That's at least what it made me think of.
That makes sense. And he even, like, in his petty, shitty old man attitude, it's like, that seems
As
like
he
a
is.
healthy attitude.
A
What brought
dick.
that on? And they're still beating the shit out of each other.
Right, this
And
whole thing is done during battle.
right, and he's like, the old you was cool. Old you would have killed me.
Yeah, what the hell's the deal with that? Why aren't you murdering me?
But she, like, literally fades into the distance. And so we have Skywarp being like, hey, what did I just miss? Or
Yeah,
Astrotrain, I'm sorry.
Astro Train shows up. Yeah, no, Astro Train shows up like, hey, you ready to be picked up? Your game done yet?
I got your text.
The movie over? How was it? Astro Train, you're so sweet. He even shows up and he's like, are you okay? Galvatron's like, oh my god, I'm fine. Why would you even ask me that? I'm a warrior. I have no prime, or I have no master. I need no army.
And so we go back to Kaminus here, and Optimus is with Aileron.
Yes, so they're both coming through the portal to Kaminus, and of course, because yeah, he's got somebody he's got to meet here. And Aileron's kind of like, oh man, I did kind of pull a dick move on Earth, didn't I? I just, went to the human president of America and was like, hey, talk to me.
And he's like, everyone makes mistakes.
He does say, I love it because he says, if I stop talking to my friends every time they did some dumb shit thing, I literally would have zero friends.
If I stop talking to everybody who threatened world leaders.
We would have, I would have zero friends. I would be flying solo.
It's very true.
So of course now, yes, we get the moment where Aileron is reflecting back on what happened on Earth. She's like, oh, but still, yeah. Like she just really thought in her mind it was like obviously when she did it she was angry, but she just was to a point where she was so frustrated she was like, just go right to the source, go to the leaders and talk this out, like figure this out. And she was frustrated that Optimus wasn't doing that, and he's like, listen, I thought about doing it, but some part of me said that it wasn't a good idea and that we have to take this slowly. We
Right.
have to be more strategic.
And she's like, oh, that's not what I did. And silently was like,
Right.
yeah, that's not what you did, kid.
No. And then she brings up the Way of the Flame and that yeah, she that it teaches them to forge the new. Don't dwell on the past. But at the same time, your foundations have to be strong. And that some places, no matter how good your foundation is, if you build it on a poor foundation, it's not, or
right, nothing
yeah,
can
no matter
come
how
of it.
strong your structure is, if it's on a bad foundation, it won't hold. And at that point they reach, oh, they're of course going to see the Mistress of Flame.
Yeah, she's cool.
She is cool. Though I have to say, this first panel, what is this pose?
Yeah,
like,
it's
why
very weird.
Wouldn't she have like a proper seat with a back on it, or at least be seated with her butt further back on the seat? It's very like model posed. Like, oh, like my
I didn't
my
know you
shoulders
were
are back.
coming today.
Oh, I just lounge around like this. So, just quick little nitpick there. Still good. Still good. Still like her.
And Prime is like, hey, yeah, what's up? And Aileron is like, oh my god.
She immediately drops her knees like, whoa, you're the Mistress of Flame. Hey, praise be to you. And Optimus is like, listen, I figured both Aileron and I could stand to mate with you. We need some of your wisdom.
And she's like, well, I mean, buddy, that's not going well, is it? Your whole
right, she kind
thing?
Of has like a sneer on her face. I like that panel of her. Where she's like, uh-huh, what could you possibly need from me? Is your whole, like, you know, taking over Earth not going so well?
And Optimus says, I think there's more going on here than you know. And Aileron is like, oh my god, stop, please, do not embarrass
me. Using that tude with her, god, Prime.
What is your deal?
She's very panicky. She knows, yes, she's in the presence of, obviously to her it would be a very big deal.
And the Mistress of Flame is like, what do I care? And she's like, so you met the Combiner, huh? And Optimus is like, well, yeah, that, she told me some stuff.
Yeah. So they, right. Because of course her torchbearers now, the torchbearers that the Mistress of Flame has now are not, they're a different set. The ones who turned into Victorian used to be her torchbearers, but they no longer are. And this returns to, because she even brings up the fact that, like she and Optimus are talking about kind of what the torchbearers who we know have told Optimus Prime.
Right.
And, you know, he's saying, like, because, yeah, he doesn't necessarily believe the same things about himself that they believe about him.
This is a real cool moment. She's like,
yeah,
look, there's a whole bunch of Titans out there still. Only about half the colonies have shown up. So
right.
Earth has been a huge part of Cybertron for like all of its existence. Like, your war ended there and the Enigma of Combination was there and Shockwave was there with the whole Dark Cybertron stuff. And she's saying like, so how weird would it be if Earth was the 13th colony and it had a Prime?
Right. Which is a very good point.
And of course she's referring to Optimus there in case I worded it confusingly.
Yes, it's worded vaguely. So she doesn't come out right out and say it, but yeah, like she's essentially saying like all of this stuff, Earth has been central to a lot of things. And her discourse with Prime before this harkens back to what Pyra Magna had told Optimus about the fact that the torchbearers that we know left the Mistress of Flame because they felt she was falsifying herself in knowing who the 13th Prime is.
Right.
In knowing the name of the 13th Prime, because they know the name of 12 of them, and it's said that nobody knows the name of the 13th, but the Mistress of Flame claims that she does. So this plays all back into that.
Yes.
And yeah, and her kind of hinting at the fact that, yeah, Earth seems like a pretty good candidate for being the 13th
Keeps
colony.
Showing up, doesn't it, Optimus?
Yeah, pretty convenient that, isn't it?
And so we go to Earth in Monument Valley, which I've been to. I drove through there. Yeah.
I've not.
It's rad. The sky looks like
I'll believe it.
And RC is coming in. And everybody's like, hey, RC, what's up? And she's like, I'm busy.
It's so cute because, like, my note here just says, aw, cuties. Because it's, it looks to be Cup and Pyra Magna. And, yeah, he's like, hey, Pyra Magna and I were just about to roast some Earth rocks if you want to come join us. Which, precious. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
And, of course, she's just walking past him.
And she's wondering why Sideswipe won't wake up, which is really sad.
It is sad, but also Now my note here just said Sides is doing that thing like we said earlier where you pretend to be asleep when someone enters a room. Like he's like, oh my god, nobody's asking me to do anything. Anytime that door opens, he's just like, nope, I'm fast asleep.
He's like,
I'm not waking up.
Best. Oh my god.
I'm totally hurt. I can't get up.
Oh, I'm in pain.
But as she's, yeah, it is, but it is a sad moment and very sweet because, again, I love these guys. And in my head, canon, they're good friends. So she's like, Sideswipe, oh my god, wake up. And then Trax shows up and he's like, yeah, the Decepticons sure did a number on him. Sure is enough to make you hate him. And RC looks so salty. She's just like, oh, hi, Trax.
Yeah. And he's even like, yeah, listen, about that. Like, I like my brother. I mean, he was in love with Horrible, and
yeah, he kind
we
of brings
killed
up.
Him.
Yeah, like Trax is. I'm so glad because, of course, I love Trax, so I'm glad he's getting some development here. And yeah, he's kind of vouching for the Decepticons. He's like, "Look, I know they hurt Sideswipe, and it's of course you're upset. You should be mad at them, but at the same time, we've hurt a lot of them. My brother's." Husband, or at least very serious boyfriend, is dead because of us. And of course they're mad at us, and I feel sad for my brother. And yeah, he's saying, like, it's just this cycle of violence. Sunstreaker said it. Trax agrees. And RC's like, well, maybe there's an ending to that coming up.
I want to say, I think he looks really good in that second to last panel there.
Yeah, he looks very contemplative.
He's got a good mouth and good nose.
Yeah.
Anyway, Prime comes back and Cosmos is like, oh, hey, what's up? And
yeah.
Optimus is like, oh, Cosmos, you wouldn't believe.
You just asked a mouthful, Cosmos. And Aileron was in the middle of talking and she's like, you know, it's, and she's kind of letting us know that, like, the Mistress of Flame doesn't know that Alpha Trion is on Earth. And so through Aileron's wording, we know that she's like, the Mistress would lose her mind if she knew that there was, like, an original Prime.
A real here. Prime.
Like, for realsy Prime on this planet.
Not like you. I mean, like...
Which, of course, she's like, I mean, oops, sorry, Optimus. And he's like, no, you're fine.
And she's like, but I mean, like, he was there.
Like, he was an original dude.
He's like, yes,
it's
I get
like,
it, Aileron. He was there.
She's like, Prime, for real. If you go to see your favorite band and, like, the original drummer's there, and he's like, I get it. I get it, Aileron.
Like, you're a drummer. He's the drummer.
So she's really stressing this to Optimus. And Cosmos is, like, bringing them up to date. He's like, injured are taken care of. Skyroller is clear for a next trip.
And
then he kind of, like,
yeah.
Yeah, he kind of hesitates, and Optimus is like, what's the deal, Cosmos? What are you thinking? And then it gets Precious.
Cosmos is like, hey, look, Soundwave is actually pretty cool, and you shouldn't go over there because he's got a thing against Primes.
Yeah. He's
and
like,
Optimus, this is like a fucked up panel right here.
Oh, this gets suddenly very fucked up. Like... Yeah, this next panel, because, yeah, Cosmos is trying to reach out to Prime and be like, okay, look, I like Soundwave. He's nice. Literally, let's send anyone else, and he will be cool, I promise you. And Optimus then, I'm with you, Optimus goes, Cosmos, I don't want Soundwave to bow to someone else. I want him to bow to me, which, like, okay, so my note here just says, whoa, whoa, whoa. What is this, Prime? This isn't like you. Also, this is hot. I mean, I'm confused, but also I'm a little into it. I'm very confused by this panel, but also a little into it.
Yeah.
But mostly confused. Mostly confused. It seems very weird, right?
It's very, very weird. You are correct.
Like, where did that come from? Optimus, are you trying out a new thing here? What's going on? Are you discovering a new part of yourself?
And RC is like... I know how to make him bow.
Yeah, she knows how to destroy the Decepticons without firing a shot.
RC knows some stuff. Like, this is a long time simmering.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Oh gosh, RC's got so much she knows.
Back when RC was just really upsetting to be around.
Right, when we were like, God, RC, get a better personality, girl. Come on. But now we have the Skyroller has made it to the Decepticon Mune.
Right. Sanctuary Station is the official name. I never remember that.
Yes.
And Optimus is like, hey. And Soundwave is like, get out, you piece of shit.
Soundwave, I do love, he's like, I don't want nothing to do with Primes or Autobots or with traitors. And he points accusingly at Thundercracker, who of course has come with them. TC's like, come on, man.
How fucking cute is
oh
that
my
Thundercracker
goodness.
Brought Buster, and Buster is wearing a little Leica spacesuit.
My note here says, look at Buster's weird old puppy spacesuit.
Got the little fishbowl helmet. Got the
oh
little,
my goodness.
I
it's
cannot,
the cutest.
It's so good.
It's just a perfect pure panel. And because, of course, and even TC is just being like, I think Soundwave's talking about me. When it comes to the traitor, it's like, duh, babe. Of course he's talking about you. Come on. And then even the way he responds to Buster in her little tiny spacesuit, because she little gives a little woof or whatever. He says, hey, we're in this together, Buster, which means in his mind she's been like, whoa, dude, you better look out. Soundwave's got it out for you. He's like, hey, girl, you're with me. But anyway, let's move away from that beautiful, perfect panel.
Optimus is like, hey, be nice to Thundercracker or I'll beat you up.
Literally what he says.
And he says, I got two things I'm going to say. One, thank you, Needlenose. That was nice of you to do this.
Thanks for setting up a play date for us. Oh, and then it gets real sweet because Needlenose says, I owe my brother exactly this much, but is he okay? Because, of course, the last time we saw...
He was kicking the shit out of him on the ground.
Yes, he let Trax get shot, and then he proceeded to kick him in the gut. So, yeah, he's like, he's okay, right? And then I do like the Optimus is like, yeah, Trax is all right, and it's going to mean a lot to him that you've asked. And I'm like, it will, because you guys love each other, even though you're both being total douchers right now. And then Soundwave's like, I don't care about any of this. What the hell else do you want?
And yeah, I love this because Thundercracker's like, yeah, Soundwave is being rude.
Which I do love any of TC's little moments like that, because you're just like, okay, we can just assume what Buster is saying through TC's responses to her. So she's like, geez, get a load of this guy. And TC's like, I know he's trying to be rude. That's what he's doing.
And he's saying here, like, all right, first up, tell me what's up with Galvatron. And
Optimus,
Soundwave, yes, Optimus is talking to Soundwave and saying, what's up with Galvatron? And Soundwave's like, he sucks. That's what's up with him. I hate him. Shut up. Go away.
Get off my ship. But yeah, Optimus is...
Well, Thundercracker even says, like, clearly you hate Galvatron. Right. That's why you should be working with us.
Right. He's saying, dude, Galvatron really, really betrayed you. Like, this is... Look at this beautiful thing. And Galvatron was ready to be like, who cares? I'm going to do my own thing. So yeah, you should... be on our side, because none of us like Galvatron.
And Soundwave is giving his sort of party line, like, I don't believe anyone is better than anyone else, and we're not going to have a prime, so I'm not going to work with you guys. And Optimus is, or not Optimus, but Thundercracker is saying, look, you've compromised your beliefs for greater goods before. Like, think of
like,
all the bad that Megatron has done.
Yeah, he's laying out some realities here. Like, Megatron... didn't do nice things while he was leading the Decepticons. This, what Soundwave is trying to do, pretty lovely. Like, he's just kind of saying, look, I have a house. I want people to live here. We can all just take care of each other. It'll be good. And we'll all be equals. It'll be lovely. Megatron didn't do that. And Soundwave stood by and was backing up Megatron while he was, you know, while the entire war happened.
Right.
But Soundwave, even then, is still like, listen, it's not the same, because humans aren't equal to Cybertronians. In Soundwave's mind, he's like, no, Cybertronians are all equal. We should be taking care of each other. Humans are not included in that. And by Optimus kind of taking claim of Earth, or kind of, you know, taking Earth under his wing, however anyone is seeing it, I do like this. He's saying, by attempting to place them in the Cybertronian Council, Optimus denigrates us. And by calling himself Prime, he places himself above everyone else, which further denigrates us. Which, I mean, and so he's saying, so yeah, Megatron was bad, Optimus, two times as bad, because he's doing two things bad.
Double bad.
So I still hate him. You can't get me, TC. Nice try.
Following him is too much, and he's like, is that it? Is that all you wanted, Optimus, you dumb butthole? And
totally what he said.
Optimus is like, no. Guess what RC told me?
Yep, RC knew some stuff. And honestly, this is a thing I forgot. I reread this with all of you.
He says, when Horrible was killed,
right,
we blamed it on the ID chips because Bumblebee had those installed. But you disabled those before Horrible died, and you killed Horrible. So if you don't want me to tell Needle Nose, and by extension everyone on the ship who will no longer believe in you, and all of this will come crashing down, then you're going to work with me.
Yep. Which, I mean, good point. We did keep going, yeah, damn it, Bumblebee. Man, poor Needle Nose. His boyfriend's dead because of you. Yeah, no, Soundwave did disable those things. Yep.
I really, really like this because Soundwave is like, all right, I'm in. And then it immediately smash cuts to Starscream going, ooh, does this feel weird? Do you feel weird?
He got a sudden chill like, oh, shit, something bad just happened. And Bumblebee, of course, is who he's speaking to. And Starscream just as quickly brushes it off. He's like, yeah, I'm sure. I'm probably just excited. And of course, yeah, he's excited about some stuff. And Bumblebee's like, what? What are you excited about? But before he can explain to Bumblebee, we see that, oh, Starscream has some guests.
Yeah, we know these boys.
Yeah, he's not talking to himself. He's just basking in the warming glow of truth. And we see he's greeting his guests, and it's Longtooth and Circuit, our favorite newscasters.
The Fifth Estate, or whatever the media is, I don't remember. Anyway, he's like, hey, guess what? You guys, we're going to figure out what Prime has been doing on Earth.
Yeah, and right, because of course Soundwave, and as he's talking to Circuit, he, you know, is building him up a little bit, but being like, oh, Circuit, yep. I knew you had a nose for news. Yep, I'm putting this on you to figure this out. the last lines here are, we'll let the truth bury the legacy of Primes for now and ever.
Yeah, that's
And that's 52. Stuff. Very heavy. Because, of course, yeah, legacy of Primes, a bit of a thing.
I want to imagine that Optimus is like, I just started being a Prime again. Like, I was Orion Pax for so long, and now everyone's mad at me.
And everybody's upset. Nobody wants me to be Prime.
He's like, trust me, it's easier for everybody if you call me Prime. Like, nobody called me Orion Pax.
Everybody kept forgetting. He, like, brings it up on a phone call. He's like, no, listen. Everyone kept calling me Optimus, even after I asked them to call me Orion. I almost did it again. But yeah, so, oh, Optimus, what have you done? All hail Optimus.
All hail Optimus, everybody.
I did want to point out, we did see him for a moment in these books. Cup, we had talked about Cup a few episodes ago. You kind of asked why his name was Cup, and I didn't for you. But we got, I got a message.
We got some responses.
Yeah, I got a really great response from Janica Williams on Tumblr, and she had some information to give me about Cup and the fact that, yeah, my response was, I don't know. I don't know why his name is Cup. So she was telling me that Cup's movie voice actor, because the 86 movie was the first time we saw a lot of the bots in it, the ones that we primarily see, Cup and Rodimus. Well, he's known as Rodimus now, RC, Ultra sure. Magnus. But so Cup's voice actor, Lionel Strander, he's Jewish, or he was Jewish. And she is saying that even Cup's head is fashioned after Jewish headwear. Hmm. And she's saying that he was one of the Transformers characters that was racially coded. And they chose the name Cup because it's a Yiddish translation for the word head, apparently. And, you know, he's the head of security in Generation 1. And it's also short for pickup truck.
Right.
Which is his alt mode. And so it's just, yeah, it's like a little clever kind of,
Very
so it has a
interesting.
few connotations. And I'm sorry if I didn't deliver that as elegantly as she did. I was kind of trying to read through my notes. I had it written out more elegantly, and then of course I left my notebook.
I
So
don't
I just
think
went
anyone's upset. You'll be all right.
So I just, yeah, I went directly back to our conversation. So yeah, it was just some cool tidbits. But yeah, she's saying it was the writers having some fun with names and kind of yeah, their origin and
I like
where
it.
stemming from. Yeah. So there you go. So there's some cool information. Thank you for Jan. Thank you, Janica. Oh my goodness. I like can't talk. It's been a long day, everybody.
It's been a very long day.
It really has. And again, I'm still at work. But yeah, so just some cool information there. And now we have an answer. That's why cup is called cup. Because I remember wondering that when I was a kid and like first watched the 86 movie, and you're like, whoa, that dude's name is just Cup.
That's just his name.
That guy's just named Cup. Which, most of them are, yeah, like Hubcap and Hot Rod, and yeah, and then there's Cup. So that's why, which I think is very cool. It's a
Yeah,
neat little thing
I'll
to
take
find out.
that.
Thank you for the information. If anybody else has cool stuff, yeah, let us know.
I want to thank our McAdams patron, hanging out at the old bar here with Slug and all everybody. We got Jay
Yeah.
Riley. So thanks to
Thanks,
Jay
Jay.
Riley for bringing this episode to all y'all.
Yeah,
Hopefully
Fleur
we'll
knows
get
your UB.
back there soon enough.
I know, goodness. It is really just Jay and Blur and Slug holding down the fort. The
I want to
Tankers are
imagine
probably there.
Waspinator's there too.
Waspinator definitely there. Yeah. I bet even old Slugipede and Lil Trashcan probably
Oh,
now.
I miss him.
I miss them too. But yeah.
Transforminauts, what are you drinking these days?
Transforminauts, mix me up something a little tropical, please.
Transforminauts, you know what? It's the end of summer. Let's get in the last of those beach drinks.
Let's do it. Let's just have a beach blast. One last blowout.
Watch out, it's a shark.